Welcome to the Watering Hole Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Riemann. The Watering Hole is a place to come and quench your thirst for meaning, nourish your hunger for inspiration, and feed your need for connection. Featuring inspirational talks, curious conversations, mystical meditations, and other artistic expressions, exploring themes on life, spirituality, nature, mystery, and so much more. So meet me at the Watering Hole, and together, let's drink from deep waters. So I just want to start by saying that, starting with the body renewal was purposeful, for one, because that's how we experience life, is through these bodies. And all week I've been, I think, sort of resistant, right? Like we've talked about this before. How many times have we fucking heard about, you know, we got to come into a good relationship with our bodies and the blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, it feels like the blah, blah, blah sometimes. So I'm inviting you to really come with me into today's talk, because I'm talking anew, afresh, and be willing to really look at our own self and our own stories anew. I don't think my story is all that unique. You know, my journey to health and well-being, to really considering my body my beloved, has been fraught with obstacles and feelings that I think are likely universal. I mean, I, for my whole life, as long as I can remember, I've had a tortuous relationship with my body. And I don't think I'm alone in that. And that's why I think it's so important for us to talk about it. I came into the world, and I don't know when it happened. All I know is that it happened really, really soon, that I started to compare myself. And I came into a man's world like we all did. And I was born into a Roman Catholic family where men had primacy. And in fact, women's bodies were understood to be second rate, that the male body was the perfect form. And actually there was hatred. And I don't think I'm saying anything we don't know. You just have to look at the Catholic Church and how desperately they hold on to male primacy to understand how that hatred gets put forth. And so really early on, I hated my body. I hated the fact that I was a girl. I was absolutely certain that God made a mistake. And I told my mom that when I was little. I was 8 years old. We were walking home from church, and the priest had given a sermon that said, God doesn't make mistakes. And I'm walking home holding my mom's hand, and I said, "Mom, I think that he's wrong. God does make mistakes." And she's like, "What do you mean?" And I said, I know that I'm not supposed to be a girl. And I believe that that desire to be a boy was really because I felt called to do the work that I do. And in the Catholic Church, this work was only for men. And, but that feeling of hating who I was and wanting to be in a different form, has lingered through my whole life. And it wasn't until I met some really powerful women, people who felt good in their bodies and who celebrated the human form. I was in my 30s, Amanda's one of them, that I really started to be able to look at the story I was telling myself and start to appreciate the body I had. But even that, my 30s to 40s, I were still fraught with self-hatred, of course, because, you know, we live in a culture that depends on us hating ourselves, right? I mean, we have a whole billions of dollar beauty industry that relies on us not feeling good about ourselves. And now we have a whole medical industry, right, that says, you know, the only way to even heal this gap between who you are and who you want to be is through a pill or through surgery or through, you know, some other thing outside of ourselves. And I bought that for a long time. I bought the lie that I was being told, and I bought the lie that I was telling myself. And consequently, my body became has become my most consistent teacher. And over the years, I've discovered, and I'll get to this, but I've discovered that love alone is the salve that heals. But first, I had to be willing to look at where the dis-ease in me came from, where it began. And for me, as it does for most of us, it began with belief, with indoctrination, with being raised in a culture of comparison that instills and reinforces insecurities, and in fact counts on them to make us into consumers. And man, I was a consumer. I was so self-consumed with hatred and loathing. And so, as a tomboy who never wanted the things that my culture, religion, and family roles dictated were mine to do because of the body I was in, I found my body an adversary and something I felt I needed to conquer. And the feelings that I had about my body weighted me down. My spirits were always down, no matter the mask I put on it. Life was heavy. And interiorly, I was constantly at battle with myself, constantly. And that actually led to physical pain and real disease. I'll never forget the day I was coming into my role at St. Agnes, right? Like, this is a day, like my dreams are coming true. I'm going to actually be a priest in the Roman Catholic Church, motherfuckers. And I wake up that day and I can't find clothes that fit me. I can't fit into anything. I have one pair of jeans, and they were a boy's pair of jeans. I often wore men's clothing because that's what I felt most at home with. But the older I got and the curvier I got, the harder it was for me to find those clothes. But frankly, it was hard for me to find those clothes in the women's department too, because the most clothes are made by men. And so I was a mess. I was sobbing and just hating myself, going to this day, to the ceremony that was to be life-changing for me and life-affirming. And I'll never forget this. I walked in, and so I have jeans on because it's the only thing I have that I can fit in. People have made a lot of assumptions over the years about the way I dress and have not withheld their opinions over the years and have tried to get me to dress in other ways. So anyway, I go to St. Agnes and I walked in, and my spiritual director is the person who had the job before me. And she was, going to be leading this ceremony during mass. And I never forget this. I walked in, and I don't know if you can see my face, but she did this. And looked at me up and down disapprovingly, like, I can't believe that you're in jeans for this thing, right? And I was already, you know, already disappointed in myself also, right? And it colored. I mean, I'm telling you that story today, 23 years later, because it colored the experience of that day. And that wasn't new. That wasn't new. You know, we're told that if we buy this or we do that or we have this surgery or whatever, then we're going to feel better. It's a fucking lie. It's a lie. And the more we put our effort in the external, the more incongruous we feel, because we know there's something in us that knows it's just not true. But I will tell you that over the years, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle my thoughts and my feelings about my body. And I struggled, and I learned because of what I saw around me. My mother struggled. You know, I think about, when did I first begin to distrust my body? Was it when I saw my mom in the fitting room crying because she couldn't find clothes that fit, because she hated her body? Was it because I saw how torturous she was with diet? How she herself would sometimes go to extremes. I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but the cabbage diet, what the fuck? Like, she ate cabbage soup for like 2 weeks. What are we doing? You know, and we take it on. We take on what we see modeled around us in our families and in our societies. One day after my siblings started having nieces and nephews, I started to really see it in a different way. My niece was 8 years old. She came home. My sister relayed the story to us. She's 8 years old. She came home from school. She's sitting on the couch. She's crying. My sister Barb inquires, you know, what's going on? Why are, you know, what's going on? 8 years old. I'm too fat. 8 years old, sobbing. I have a niece who to this day struggles with anorexia and bulimia. Who modeled that? I did. Right? Like, this relationship that we have with our body is a worthy endeavor to heal. It is a worthy endeavor to heal, because it is key to our awakening. It's not just a part of it. It is the whole thing, because these bodies derive from this earth. These bodies derive from this earth. And if you think that the way we're treating the earth has nothing to do with the way we treat our bodies, then I beg you to start looking at the story you're telling yourself, at the story we are telling ourselves about these bodies and the lies that we believe. Because the only way to transform it is to begin to deconstruct it, and not with judgment. I mean, this is the key. You hear me saying this over and over again, but unless I could look at myself with the utmost compassion, without judgment, I just stayed in the habit of thought and the belief that if I just exercised enough, if I just counted the calories, if I just stopped eating carbs, if I just, you know, did low fat, if I did, you know, all of it, I've done it all. I've done it all, as have many of you. So we have to start questioning, right? We have to start questioning the record that's playing in our minds and be willing to lift up the needle right? To be willing to lift up the needle and say, I need a new record. I need a new story. I need a new way of seeing and being with myself. I mean, our mind's dis-ease is manifested physically in the body. Eckhart Tolle says that emotion is the reaction of your body to your mind. And so I started to really, really get curious about the emotions I was having in my body, what they were related to, what story they were related to. And then I started to question it. Is it true? The story I'm telling about myself, is it true? Is this the only story? Is this a story that I need? Is this story helping me? Is it helping me be more of who I am? This idea that beauty can be bought has to really, really be deconstructed, because it's like, it's all comparison. Comparison, I'm finding, this is just what I'm finding. You look into this for yourself. Is in my life has been the most toxic and diseased thing that I can do is to compare myself. I have never been led to greater wholeness through comparison. And I have never, ever been led to healing by trying to discipline myself, by trying to beat myself into submission, by trying to, you know, go to the extreme when it comes to exercise or diet. Those things have never lasted. They have never, ever, ever lasted. But when I started to inquire and really listen to my body, like really listen. Like when I said in the meditation, ask your feet what they need if they're in pain. Ask your belly what it needs when it's tense, when it's all acidic, and listen. I started to actually do that, to actually listen. And what I found, most of my tension and dis-ease comes in my belly, in digestive issues. And imagine that. And so when I started to really ask my body what it needed and ask my belly what it needed to relax, this is what it said. I need you to pay attention. And like even just doing it right now as I'm talking to you, because of course I hold the stress in my body. I can feel it. Just release, right? There's so many times where if I just tune into my stomach, I'll be like, man, I'm holding my stomach. I have tension there. And I mean, I'm just doing normal things like normal life, like washing the dishes or reading a book. And it's like that habit is so set up in my body that I don't even notice I'm doing it. And so it takes energy to pay attention to the body and really give it its due. And what I found happen when I started to do that, first of all, is that I felt myself actually come more into my body than ever in my life, ever. Like I really believe, and I don't know how this is for other people, but I left my body early, and we get all kinds of enticement, you know, to separate ourselves from our bodies. And I think it happens really early for us. And for me, it happened at least probably when I was 3 years old. And I had this vision of myself of 3 years old in my backyard, sitting there, and I could see myself so clearly. And it was like I was waiting for myself to come home. And I felt myself come back home into my body as a 52-year-old. And now, over the last several years, you know, because now I'm 54, so I'm still new. I feel still new at this. And it's not a one and done thing. It's not like you fall in love with yourself and then it's one and done. It's just like any other fucking relationship. You got to work at it. You got to come back to it. You got to see it anew again and again and again and be gentle. And be gentle. And so how do we do that? How do we start being gentle with ourselves? How do we come back to love ourselves? First of all, it's by checking what you're saying. Would you say what you say about yourself to somebody you loved? You know, I had a friend who just held that mirror up for me often. Mary, what are you saying to my friend Mary? Like, would you say that to someone you love? And then now I can catch it. And I just don't allow myself to speak harmfully to myself. I do not allow it. I just don't allow it. Just like I wouldn't allow it if I had a child. Just like I don't allow it if someone's talking to my pet. I mean, don't fat shame my dog. Like, don't even do that. So just begin with that. How do I talk to myself? Can I talk to myself as my beloved? Can I really see my body as a gift? I mean, here's the thing. Beauty is. Beauty is. You are beauty, and it has nothing to do with how you look. We are beautiful because these bodies were forged in 13.5 billion years of life and death through these cosmos, cycling in and out. 13.5 billion years is what it took to make you. And we're going to spend our lives hating it. We're going to spend our lives dismissing the fact that these bodies are the wonder of the world, that these bodies are the very thing that give us access to life. Are you fucking kidding me? No, no, no. We are in an epidemic of self-hatred. Look at what we do to each other, how we judge each other, how we get jealous, how we allow envy to be held up as fucking capitalism. What are we doing? What are we doing? Beauty is. Beauty is. We are beautiful because we have made it, because we have been born, because this reality thought it was a good idea to bring you about. You. We can be so distracted and so sent off track through that self-loathing and hatred. It can consume so much of us. And it won't matter. I mean, this is what I found. It didn't matter what job I had, didn't matter what degrees I had, didn't matter what partner I had, didn't matter. None of those things matter. As long as I was hating myself, I took that hatred, that dis-ease, that discomfort into all of those areas of my life, because we are wherever we go. And so this endeavor of loving ourselves, of allowing ourselves the freedom to fall madly, deeply in love with the wholeness of who we are is the spiritual journey. It is the key. Think for yourself when you have those moments and you are at ease and you are in the flow and there is no thought, you're just in it and you're being with your loves. Think about how present you are to life in those moments. The invitation is to be present with life in every moment. But as long as we're hating ourselves, there will always be a wall. There will always be something between us and our experience because it's here. It's not out there. There is nothing fucking out there that will fix us. There isn't. We have to do the hard work. And maybe nobody wants to hear this. That's cool. But I have found for myself that I have to get real with myself. And I have to be willing to believe the truth about myself, no matter how beautiful it is. Believe the truth about yourself, no matter how beautiful it is, because it is. You are, we are. And the more fully we come into being, the more fully we can love ourselves, the more love we bring to the world. And that's wholeness. That's how we renew life. So no, I'm not going back to normal. I'm not going back to buy the lie of consumerism or buy the lie that beauty can be bought or buy the lie that I'd be better if. No, I'm going to be present right now where I am with who I am, because the truth is I am okay. And the truth is you are okay. No matter what else is happening in life, we're here and we're okay. And we've made it through challenge and difficulty and trauma 100% of the time. 100% of the time, because here we are. So stand firm on the true knowledge that we have already made it through the fire, 13.5 billion years of fire. There is no fire that we can't face now. So let's do it. Let's do it. Because truly, our experience of life depends on it. Thanks for listening, everybody. I look forward to meeting you right back here at the Watering Hole. And as Mary Oliver said, go easy, be filled with light, and shine.